Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Ryan Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on Fox 19 event, which takes place in Tampa, Florida. If you're unfamiliar with our format, myself and Nick will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, our premium package bets for UFC Fight Night 86 went 1-2 to lose 1.1 units overall. We won our bet on Tim Johnson, but lost our plays on Curtis Blaydes and Demir Hadzevich. We also lost our one-unit underdog free bet on Rob Whiteford. Back to the present, UFC on Fox 19 will be aired on UFC Fight Pass and Big Network Fox this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking off the preliminary card on Fight Pass is a welterweight bout between Elizu Zaleski dos Santos, who is 14-5, and Omari Akhmedov, who is 15-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Akhmedov -210, the comeback on Dos Santos +160. Lines are courtesy of fivedimes.eu. Right now, over at Five Dimes, it is Akhmedov -150, the comeback on Zaleski is +130. So early action coming in on the dog. And you know what? In my opinion, as far as the pure bet goes, they came in the right way. So I do agree with the early action. It's hard to lay Akhmedov in this spot against Dos Santos. So it is a dog or pass situation. That being said, it is a tough matchup for Dos Santos though as well, because Akhmedov here, what he does best, honestly, is he's got a ton of power. He's capable of knocking people on the feet, but really what he does best is the ground game. He gets wrestling, his takedowns, his ability to control the fight on the ground and kind of grinds people out. He has some finishing ability as far as ground and pound. Again, to go with that power and some submission skill as well. So Akhmedov is a pretty well-rounded fighter, but again, I think in this fight with Dos Santos, it's his ability to take the fight to the floor that's going to win him the fight. Now, he does have some cardio issues, questionable for sure. He seems to fade at times throughout his career thus far in the UFC. We've seen evidence of that. So as he fades along the way, Dos Santos is definitely going to be game and he's going to be dangerous throughout the fight because Dos Santos is a pretty solid striker. He has a good technique. He's able to hit accurate and powerful. So that combination with Akhmedov's chin being so bad, I think is not good for him. So he definitely needs to keep this fight on the ground or even possibly submit Dos Santos to get the job done here. Dos Santos is pretty solid overall. His debut against Dalby wasn't bad. He lost by split decision. It was a very competitive fight, but the problem with Dos Santos is he did get taken down, did get controlled. And that again is exactly what Akhmedov's going to look to do in this fight. So Dos Santos is capable of pulling off some sweeps off his back, reversing things once in a while, but not sure if he's going to be able to do it at least early on in this fight, and it could cost him a little bit. So I think Akhmedov probably wins this fight by decision, maybe by submission as well, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Dos Santos does pull off the upset win by knocking Akhmedov out along the way. So again, it's a dog or pass situation, but as far as a pure pick goes, I got to, I guess, lean with Akhmedov's wrestling here to get the job done.
Now, Omari Akhmedov would be a tremendous fighter if he could just avoid getting hit so much. His biggest issue is his chin, honestly. Even in his UFC debut, before he scored a great come-from-behind knockout, I mean, he almost got, you know, face-planted twice in that fight. And in his last performance, we saw Sergio Moraes, a guy that is not known for his wicked knockout power, who's more of a Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist and specialist, was able to knock Akhmedov out late in the fight. So Akhmedov, even though he's a solid overall fighter, he's a good grappler, he's aggressive, he's even a decent striker, it's just that chin, it's just not very good at all. And that is going to be a big problem throughout his UFC career. Now, Zaleski, as Nick mentioned, had a very competitive fight against Nicholas Dalby. He actually was holding his own on the feet against Dalby. It was the Dalby's wrestling that ended up playing the biggest factor, allowing Dalby to get top position and win some rounds and walk away with a close split decision. So what I think is going to happen here is Zaleski will probably get the better of Akhmedov on the feet. He could knock him out, but I do expect Akhmedov, you know, training out of a good gym over with the Jacksons and those guys, I think he's going to come in with a smart game plan, try to get Zaleski on his back and keep him there. And if he does that, he should walk away with a decision. If he doesn't, then Zaleski could definitely knock him out. But I'm going to side with Omari Akhmedov. Now moving up to the middleweight division, we have Alawal Bangbose, who is 6-1, taking on Cesar Mutant Ferreira, who is 9-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Bambose, minus 170. The comeback on Ferreira, plus 130 right now, over five times. It is Bambose, minus 175. Ferreira's plus 155. So line basically stayed the same. It did tighten up a little bit. And a tad bit more parlay action coming in Bambose's way. This is a tough fight as well because Ferreira is definitely the more talented fighter across the board. I mean, his wrestling here, I mean, he's more well-known again for his stand-up game. He's got power on the feet. Ferreira does. He's technical. He's got skill everywhere, really. It's unfortunate that, again, we're talking about chins in the last fight. Ferreira's chin is just garbage. Let's face it. I mean, the guy, I believe, is coming off of three out of his last four fights getting knocked out. And he's fighting a striker here that is more than capable of knocking people out. That's what he does best, Bambose. So this is not a good fight for Ferreira unless he can do what he should do here and get the fight to the floor and try to beat Bambose on the ground. Because Bambose, if anything, any flaws in his game, it's definitely the ground game. He can be put on his back. He can be obviously ground and pounded, submitted off his back. He hasn't had any official losses yet by submission in his pro career, but still, I think Ferreira's BJJ is good enough to be the first to do that once it's on the ground. So Bambose needs to keep this fight standing. And if he does that, he'll probably end up knocking Ferreira out. So it is going to be Ferreira by, again, submission or maybe grinding Bambose out along the way. I doubt that happens. I think Ferreira, if he does get us to the ground, he can win this fight, or Bambose's going to knock him out along the way before it even gets to that point. So this is a tough fight. I got to lean with Bambose because, again, I just mentioned three out of his last four fights, Ferreira has been knocked out. Bambose has a little bit of confidence now, obviously coming off that big Serafian win recently. So I think he's going to keep that momentum going, probably catch Ferreira's chin. Even though Ferreira, I should mention, is bouncing up to 185 for this fight. His last fight against Masvidal, he was down to 170. So I think at 185, it's going to be a little bit better for him, but he still gets clipped and knocked out. So I am going to pick Bambose to win this fight.
Yeah, speaking of bad chins, if you thought Omari Akhmedov's was bad, Cesar Ferreira's might be the worst in the entire UFC. I mean, it does not take much to hurt this guy. And every time he loses, he gets obliterated on the feet. I mean, even when he won Tough Brazil, I mean, he had to survive a knockout scare. But for the most part, this guy just is not capable of taking any punishment whatsoever from anybody, whether he was dropping down to the welterweight division and getting blasted by Jorge Masvidal or most of his fights at middleweight where, you know, guys like Sam Alvey and others were just steamrolling him. So I think what's going to happen here is Mutanch will be getting lit up on the feet by Bangbose, who is an extremely aggressive and powerful striker. But Mutanch does have the well-roundedness to potentially take this fight to the ground, avoid the stand-up, and get a submission or something. If he cannot do that, though, Bangbose is going to put him out in a hurry. And Bangbose does not have a great chin either. It's just he's able to at least hang in there. I mean, he got knocked out on short notice by Uriah Hall. That's a lot different than Cesar Ferreira getting knocked out all the time by anybody. So really, realistically, if Ferreira does not get this fight to the floor within the first 2 minutes, he's probably going to be knocked out at some point in the first round. So I'm going to pick Alawal Bangbose. I think he picks up that knockout. Now moving up to the welterweight division, we have Randy Brown, who is 7-0, taking on Michael Graves, who is 5-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Graves, minus 160. The comeback on Brown, plus 120. This is a fight that the line did flip on. Right now, Brown is minus 115. The comeback on Graves, minus 105. So basically a pick-em with a very slight lean towards Brown, but it did drop and some decent action coming in on Brown early on. This is another tough fight because Brown, he won his debut against Dwyer in a hard-fought battle, and that was impressive because Dwyer obviously is a pretty solid fighter, better than most of us thought originally. So that is a pretty solid win for Brown, and he had to face some adversity and get through some adversity in that fight, which is what you like to see in an up-and-coming prospect as well. I mean, because Brown is a very strong, long, athletic prospect, and he's only going to get better fight by fight. So now he's going to come into this next fight with some confidence for sure. Now, he's got very long reach, like I just said. He's going to have that huge advantage over Graves here. I believe it's 6 inches of pure reach. He's got some the power to go along with it on the feet for sure. He's dangerous with basically his hands, his elbows, his knees, his feet, every part of him. He's definitely capable of knocking people out or at least hurting people along the way. He has some decent wrestling and takedowns as well, but his takedown defense still needs a little bit of work, so that hinders him a little bit. But he definitely has some impressive throws to go along with some of those takedowns that I was talking about. So he's powerful. He's explosive. He's dangerous on the feet. Graves is going to want to look to take this fight to the ground. And I think he's capable of doing that though. I think Graves is wrestling is a tad bit underrated. He's been training with American Top Team now for a while. We all know that. He performed really well on the show overall and he's coming off of impressive win as well. So I think Graves has the tools. He's another guy that's young. I mean, both these guys are 25 years old, I believe. So Graves is young. He's going to keep on improving. He's got confidence, more so than ever now as well. And I think the key to this fight against Brown is definitely going to be his takedown game. Because if he stands on the feet, I think Graves isn't too bad, but that's definitely an advantage to Brown with his athleticism, with his power, with his reach. So Graves wants to keep this fight inside, get some takedowns, even grind him against the cage a little bit and steal rounds. And I think he's more than capable of doing that. So I am going to pick Graves to win. Now this is going to be a very dangerous fight for him, but I think he can come up with that kind of game plan and put Brown on his back and win the fight. So Graves is my pick.
Yeah, Randy Brown was excellent on Dana White's Looking for a Fight. He had a solid overall UFC debut after a bit of a slow start against Matt Dwyer. Ended up winning the last two rounds, winning a decision. But I think Michael Graves is the type of fighter that has all of his weaknesses. So, or that can attack all of Brown's weaknesses. Graves has excellent wrestling. We saw that on the show, The Ultimate Fighter. But on The Ultimate Fighter, he kind of ran out of steam. But on the finale, where he faced a very solid fighter in Vicente Luque, he was all over him, just completely dominated his opponent from start to finish, ended up picking up a very one-sided decision. So if he's able to utilize that wrestling against Brown, he's going to be in terrific shape. Historically, Brown has not fared great against wrestlers. He has been put on his back by multiple fighters in his previous fights, but he was able in those fights to showcase at least a decent guard, an active guard off of his back. The problem is, as he starts moving up in competition level, he's going to be facing people that he won't be able to sweep or attack with submissions off of his back so easily. And I think Michael Graves is going to be that first fighter that really puts Randy Brown's takedown defense and active guard to the test. And I'm not quite sure Randy Brown will pass that test. That being said, Randy Brown is an incredibly hardworking fighter. I expect to see an improvement from him every time we see him, but I just think Michael Graves might be a little bit too much for him at this point. Just that hard-nosed wrestler is not quite something I think Randy Brown's ready to compete against yet. So I'm going to pick Michael Graves as well. Now dropping all the way down to the bantamweight division, we have the debut of John Dodson at 135, who is 18-7. Taking on Manny Gamburian, who is 18-9 with one no contest. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Dodson, -505, the comeback on Gamburian, +335. Right now, over five dimes. It is currently still Dodson as a large favorite, -550. The comeback on Gamburian is +425. So parlay action, I'm sure, coming in Dodson's way. Not really that surprised. I'll tell you what, Gamburian is definitely a great fighter, and he has been throughout his career. I mean, a very solid fighter, and again, a well-put-together fighter as far as skill set goes, because he's got power on the feet. He's been a tad underrated throughout his career thus far, honestly. He's capable of grinding people out. He's capable of pushing the pace. He's capable of a lot of things. He even has a pretty slick submission game. So Gamburian has a lot of things going for him. His chin is coming into play here a little bit. He's getting a little bit older as well. And, I mean, fighters do hit eventually that kind of decline spot. So this is a dangerous fight for Gamburian because, again, with the age, even though he's been performing relatively well recently, he has been rocked in fights before. Obviously, he's been put out. So Gamburian, for him, a fight against a guy like Dodson is very dangerous because obviously, like I just mentioned, the explosive power that Dodson has with that speed that goes along with it. I mean, this is tough fight for, I think, Gamburian to survive all three rounds with him. But if he does, I think it'll be competitive because Gamburian is definitely a slick fighter. I think, he will try to push a little bit of a pace against Dotson as well. So if it hits the scorecards, it could get interesting. But Dotson, I mean, the explosiveness, the speed, the power, I just think Gambrian can't bully him around as much as he'd like to in this fight because he's able to match. Gambrian a lot of times has that physicality over most fighters that he faces. But with Dotson, he's not going to be able to bully him as much. And when he does try to be a little bit overly aggressive, I think Dotson's going to make him pay for it. So Dotson has been towards the top of that flyweight division for a reason. I mean, he's right there. I mean, other than probably Mighty Mouse, you can argue that Dotson's right there as far as speed and explosiveness overall in the division. He's at the top of the game there. So I think he does continue his kind of stay towards the top of that division, I guess you could say, and probably ends up knocking out Gambrian along the way. So I'm going to pick Dotson to win. He's a big favorite for a reason. I think he probably gets the job done.
John Dotson was a force in the flyweight division, but after losing twice to the champ, he saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't probably ever going to hold the title there, so he's moving on up a weight class, and this is a picture-perfect opponent for him, I think. Manny Gambrian's a veteran, but he's a bit chinny. He's not the most explosive or dangerous guy in the bantamweight division, so Dotson will have an opportunity to bide his time, pick his shots, and just wait for that one moment to really explode forward and try to put his lights out, because Dotson can do that. He has nasty power. I mean, do not forget, now that he's at bantamweight, this is a guy that knocked TJ Dillashaw out cold when he fought him. I mean, he has insane power, and he did that when he won the Ultimate Fighter on the finale. So Dotson can put anybody's lights out in the bantamweight division, hands down. And I think Manny Gambrian is going to be the first victim. Gambrian's a good fighter. He showcased some gutsy performance in his debut at bantamweight. And while he's not at his peak anymore, like at around the time when he fought Jose Aldo for the featherweight title in the WEC, he's still a solid vet. This is going to be a good quality test for John Dotson to see if he is going to be a contender in the bantamweight division as well. So while Dotson does have a tendency to kind of stagnate at times during fights and just kind of sit there and not do a lot, I don't think Manny Gambrian is going to take advantage of that. And I don't see Gambrian taking him down or threatening with submissions. I just see Manny Gambrian eating a big right hand at some point and then going down. So my pick's going to be John Dotson. Now moving up to the lightweight division, we have Drew Dober, who is 16-7 with one no contest, taking on Islam Makhachev, who is 12-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Makhachev -245, the comeback on Dober +175. Right now, over 5 times, it is Makhachev -190, the comeback on Dober +165. So early action coming in on Dober. Can't really blame people here either, because Dober always shows up to fight. You got to respect that. He's got a well-rounded skill set. He pushes a high pace, and he makes things interesting for sure against everybody that he's faced thus far. And it seems like he is improving. He's getting better, which you got to like as well. But stylistically, a lot of times, Dober just ends up a little bit short on the cards mainly, and I think it's probably going to happen here as well, because Dober, even though he has all the skill set, I mean, he's got some decent striking, underrated boxing, to be honest with you. He does get clipped, but he's got a pretty solid chin. He has some underrated wrestling and some submission skill to go along with it. Makhachev can equal him in every area, and I think he's just a little bit better in every area, to be honest with you as well. I think Makhachev has a little bit more pure knockout power. He's got some technical striking in his own right. Obviously, he's got a submission game to go along with that, and he can grind people out. So this is a bad fight for Dober, because I think Makhachev is just going to be a step ahead of him. Now, I mean, Makhachev is coming off of that knockout loss, which that was to Martins. Martins has a lot of power, underrated power, to be honest with you. So it's not really that shocking. Martins could do that to a lot of people, including Dober. I mean, if he catches Dober like that, he's going to get put to sleep as well. So I think that this fight isn't as risky for Makhachev as the Martins fight was. I don't think he's going to get clipped like that and put out like that, but we'll see. I mean, there's always definitely some caution after a fighter does get nailed, does get put out, and that was his first knockout loss of his career. So Dober is going to be a little bit more confident, I'm sure, in the striking department, because he's seen that result from Makhachev. So it's going to be interesting as far as mentally how well Makhachev does prepare. I'm sure he's probably worked defensively to avoid getting clipped like that again, but we'll see how it goes. But overall, I do think Makhachev probably doesn't finish Dober. I think he ends up doing enough to win on the scorecard, so I'm going to pick him to win.
Yeah, I just think this is a really, really bad matchup for Drew Dober. I mean, Makhachev is better than him just about everywhere, except maybe pace on the feet. Makhachev's coming off of a tough knockout loss to Adriano Martins, and I'll just be real with you. Drew Dober does not possess that type of power or even technical striking ability. And Makhachev is going to be the bigger fighter. He's going to be the longer fighter. He's going to be the better wrestler with better submissions. And even on the feet, I think Makhachev probably has a little bit more power too. That being said, Drew Dober, if somehow he's able to avoid getting put on his back, maybe he could, you know, pick apart Makhachev and just dance circles around him and work some combinations, but I do not see it happening. Drew Dober showcased improved ground skills in his last fight, but Makhachev is on a whole nother level, so I really don't think this is going to be a good night for Drew Dober. I mean, maybe the fight lasts to a decision, but Makhachev definitely has the ability to put Drew Dober on his back and keep him there and make this a really long, ugly night for Drew Dober. So I'm picking Makhachev. I think he wins pretty convincingly. Now moving up to the welterweight division, we have Court McGee, who is 18-4, taking on Santiago Ponzinibbio, who is 22-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened McGee -140 to come back on Ponzinibbio, even money. And this line did get flipped again. Ponzinibbio is now the favorite at 5 times. He's -155 to come back on McGee +135. Tough one because honestly, I figured that maybe McGee would get a little bit more love from the overall betting community early on, and I was wrong. Ponzinibbio is the way they all went. Another spot that really, those of you guys that took the plus money, or I should say even money on Ponzinibbio, wasn't ever at plus money, but those of you guys that took the even money, and the price that you got on Ponzinibbio, I think that you probably got some decent value there because this is going to be another great fight. I do give Ponzinibbio the slight edge in this fight, but McGee is one of those guys that we know throughout his UFC career always performs, always looks to push a pace. He's a very intelligent fighter, well-rounded fighter. He's fought plenty of good strikers throughout his career, and he's done really well against them. I mean, he manages to beat most of them. So Ponzinibbio is another one that falls under that category, a really good striker that is definitely going to be dangerous for McGee. But McGee has shown capabilities of beating guys like this. So this one, I think McGee might bite off a little bit more than he could chew, though, because Ponzinibbio is one of those guys, again, that keeps on improving big time fight by fight. I think McGee can push a little bit of a pace and could possibly slow Ponzinibbio down a little bit and look for some takedowns as well. But Ponzinibbio's takedown defense is actually pretty good. It's not bad. I think he's going to give McGee some problems taking him to the ground. And then on the feet, obviously, Ponzinibbio is dangerous enough that he has that kind of crazy knockout power. And McGee, even though he's never officially been knocked out as a pro, he can be clipped. He can be wobbled. And with a guy like Ponzinibbio that has that kind of power, he can be put out. So Ponzinibbio is definitely a dangerous fight for him. I think Ponzinibbio, if it hits the scorecards, it'll be close because McGee is that type of fighter. But Ponzinibbio can also win on the cards as well. So I do lean the direction that everybody's coming in early on in Ponzinibbio. That kind of scares me a little bit, to be honest with you, because a lot of times that means if everybody's going one way, look the other way because everybody's generally wrong. But in this case, I think that I have to side with Ponzinibbio myself a little bit more. I do like the progress that I've seen in him. And again, for some reason, I'm sure like most of you guys out there feel the same way about McGee. There's just something about him that you just can't trust all the way, and especially against a dangerous fighter like Ponzinibbio. So McGee, quality fighter, got a ton of respect for him, but I do think he gets beat by Ponzinibbio here. Probably gets finished as well.
This is definitely a very dangerous fight for Court McGee. He's never really been known as a high pace or athletic or explosive type of fighter, but for some reason, he's usually able to put all of his skills together and just grind fights out, whether he's grinding them on the feet or working for takedowns or pushing fighters into the clinch. It's just, he does find ways to win against opponents that you don't really expect him to. That being said, I think this time around, he might be biting off more than he can chew. Santiago Ponzinibbio is a very high-paced, high-volume, high-power striker. So if McGee's not able to close the distance and get some takedowns and maybe put Ponzinibbio on his back, then this could be a long night for McGee because Ponzinibbio should have a slight height advantage, although McGee does have a little bit of reach. That being said, Ponzinibbio hits so much harder, and McGee just does not pack that much power, and I don't think McGee has the greatest chin either. He really hasn't been finished in the UFC, but Ponzinibbio, as Nick mentioned, might finally be the guy to crack the code on Court McGee. That being said, you saw in his last fight against Marcio Liotto, McGee still has that ability, even after long injury layoffs, to stifle opponent's strengths. I mean, Lyoto was looking to fight on the outside and work his kicking game and just be annoying, and McGee just got right in his face. So maybe if McGee could get that going, he could pull off this upset, but I'm just not quite convinced. I think Ponzinibbio, he bounced back in a big way in his last fight against Andreas Stahl. He looked tremendous, putting his opponent down in the first round, and he could definitely do that here this time against Court McGee. So I'm picking Ponzinibbio, and I'm relatively confident about it. Now dropping down to the women's bantamweight division, we have Betch Kohea, who is 9-1, taking on Raquel Pennington, who is 6-6. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Pennington, -265, the comeback on Kohea, +185. Line did drop. Right now it's Pennington, -185, the comeback on Kohea is +160. So more action coming in Kohea's way. I opened it a tad bit high, I guess, in Pennington. But you know what? For me, skill set for skill set, I do think Pennington is the better fighter here. Kohea can definitely push the pace, can be effective with, I guess, kind of grinding people out as well. Kohea is not really known for her finishing ability. She does have a little bit of power, but she's just not that kind of dangerous, crazy, good striker that you could fear. She has a little bit of wrestling and some takedown games as well. She just doesn't really excel in any particular area. And I think Pennington should be safe enough in this fight where she's going to actually outstrike Kohea. I think Pennington has the speed. She's got some technical ability as well. She's got knockout power in her own right. So I do think that she wins the stand-up exchanges here. I think Kohea is going to try to slow her down, probably push her up against the cage a little bit. I think Pennington's going to be smart enough to kind of push away and end up getting position and starting to land some bombs on Kohea as well. So I do think that Pennington right now has a little bit more confidence coming into this fight as well. I mean, just think about it. The little kind of craziness that's going on between Holly Holm, Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey. We all know that scenario with those three ladies and how good they are. But Pennington legitimately gave Holly Holm, I'm saying this because Pennington legitimately gave her a fight a lot better than everybody expected. So Pennington has that kind of potential if matched well and depending on the situation here. And I think this is a good matchup for her. I think she is the better fighter here. And I think, again, I think she could pick Kohea apart. I'm actually expecting her to possibly finish because Kohea is definitely hittable. I think Kohea, obviously, that loss to Ronda Rousey is going to be in her head a little bit. I'm sure she wants to bounce back and prove that to everybody that that was just kind of a flukish thing. But mentally, again, that was the first time she's been finished. I'm not sure where she's at right now. Pennington should have a little bit of confidence just watching that happen. She knows she could probably put Kohea out as well. So I think Pennington, believe it or not, is a threat to finish this fight. If not, I think she wins on the scorecards either way. So this is Pennington's fight to win or lose, and I think she does come away with a win here. So I'm going to pick her to win.
Yeah, this is a battle between two fighters that primarily will want to strike, although Raquel Pennington does have the more well-rounded game. I mean, she showcased some submission ability in two of her UFC wins now. So she does have that option if she wants to try to get this to the floor. I think she could put Betch Kohea away there. That being said, on the feet, I think Raquel Pennington is probably the better fighter as well. Kohea might be the more aggressive and high-volume type of striker, and she does have a bit of pop, but I think Pennington has a little more power, and she's the more technical striker. And if she can pick her shots, she could potentially knock Kohea out. And if she has a patient enough game, I think Pennington can get Kohea on the ground and put her away there. I think this is definitely Raquel Pennington's fight to lose. Betch Kohea just really was served up to Ronda Rousey on a silver platter. She had a loud mouth and had an undefeated record. It was the perfect opponent for Rousey, and she got exposed very badly in that fight. Just she didn't have the knockout power to challenge Ronda on the feet, and then she got put down the second Ronda got in her face. So I think if Pennington can find a home for her hands, she could put Kohea down, or she could probably win this fight any way she wants. I just think Raquel Pennington is by far the better fighter here, and she should definitely win this one. So my pick is going to be Raquel Pennington. Now moving up to the lightweight division, we have Beneil Dariush, who is 12-1, taking on Michael Chiesa, who is 13-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Dariush -210, the comeback on Chiesa +160. Right now, It is currently Dariush minus 170. The comeback on Chiesa is plus 150. So a little bit more action coming in Chiesa's way. This is definitely a great fight. Two guys that have been climbing up the lightweight ladder that have really been impressive as of late as well. So this is a well-matched fight because I think it's going to be a lot of questions answered in this spot. I mean, Chiesa, his ability to really get the fight to the ground and dominate pretty good people and get the submission victory as well. He's all sorts of dangerous, especially when he gets your back on the ground. He's got a slick submission game. And then on the feet, he keeps on improving. I mean, he's got some length on him and he's starting to use a little bit more. He's starting to get more confidence on the feet. He has a little bit of power to go along with it. So Chiesa is a ground guy that has definitely improved his overall game and he's coming into his own definitely. So there's a lot of good things to like about him. I think he matches up not that great though with Dariush in this spot. I think Dariush is definitely the more overall talented fighter because I think he's more technical and more capable on the feet overall as a fighter. I think Dariush is a little bit better as far as pure BJJ goes on the ground as well. I think his wrestling is definitely decent enough to hang with Chiesa, even though Chiesa does seem to out-wrestle people in most situations. I think in this spot, Chiesa probably won't though either. So I think basically what it comes down to, the ground game probably neutralizes each other out here. In this spot, Dariush has the stand-up ability and the stand-up edge in this fight as well. And I think honestly, as far as pure submission skill, I mean, Chiesa gets Dariush's back, of course. I mean, he's going to be a threat. It's going to be dangerous for him, but I think that Dariush is actually the better submission, pure BJJ fighter as well. So I think he can threaten and possibly submit Chiesa along the way. So this should be a close fight. This is a very intriguing fight. And I'm, like I said, I'm glad the UFC matched it, but I just feel like across the board, Dariush kind of has those check marks on his side. And I think he's just a more complete fighter at this point. And as long as he doesn't let Chiesa control him up against the cage or get the fight to the ground and basically lay and prey on him, I think Dariush is going to win this fight. He's a more dangerous fighter and he's a more capable fighter. So I am going to pick Dariush to beat Chiesa in this fight.
Michael Chiesa deserves to be in the top 15 after his big win over Jim Miller and his current winning streak. But with becoming a top 15 fighter means you guys start facing some really top opposition, and Beneil Dariush is nasty. Now, I know Dariush probably didn't deserve to win his last fight against Michael Johnson, but this time around, I think he's going to more than earn that victory. Chiesa is an aggressive striker with pretty good boxing, but his bread and butter is his ground game, his wrestling, and his active back-taking and rear naked chokes. None of that is going to work against Beneil Dariush. Beneil Dariush is light years ahead of Chiesa on the ground. I mean, this guy is a world champion Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist. So if Chiesa is trying to work this fight to the ground, I think Dariush is going to tie him up in knots. And on the feet, Dariush has shown serious improvement. Now, Michael Johnson was able to outwork Dariush on the feet and avoid takedowns. That's not going to be the case here with Chiesa. I think Dariush's kicking game is going to be a major factor in this fight. He did some nasty damage to Darren Cruikshank when he fought him. And I think Dariush can really light up Michael Chiesa's midsection in this fight. And Dariush packs a decent punch as well. I think the only thing that has me a little concerned is Dariush's chin is not the greatest. I mean, I hate to fall back on a loss from a long time ago, but Ramzi Nijem was able to pound him out a little bit in that fight. So if Chiesa connects with something, and he does have a little bit of power, I mean, we've seen him hurt a couple people on the feet. If Chiesa is able to connect with a big right hand or something against Dariush, that'll be his opening, because maybe those Brazilian jiu-jitsu credentials get thrown out the window a little bit when he's hurt. But that being said, Beneil Dariush really is better than Michael Chiesa in just about every aspect of this fight, except maybe pace and conditioning. And I just don't see Chiesa's pace and conditioning playing a factor here with him getting a late stoppage or something, because I think Dariush could be the one getting the stoppage. So my pick is going to be Beneil Dariush. Now dropping down to the featherweight division for the first fight on the Fox main card, we have Cub Swanson, who is 21-7, taking on Hakran Diaz, who is 23-3-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Swanson, minus 135. The comeback on Diaz, minus 105. Right now, over five dimes again. Currently, it's Swanson, minus 125. Diaz is plus 105. So line margins have tightened up. And there has been two-way action on this fight. A lot of split opinions on this fight as well. Because it is a quality fight. A well-matched fight. And it's an interesting fight. Now, of course, we know that, man, Swanson made that unreal rise towards the top of the featherweight division, and he earned a spot against guys like Frankie Edgar, against a guy like Max Holloway, which are at the top of the division. Now, unfortunately for him, it didn't work out for him. He's lost to those guys, so he's coming off back-to-back losses. But before that, I mean, the tear that he went on, including guys like Oliveira, Poirier, Stevens, I mean, pretty impressive stuff. He's fought quality opponents, and it looked like he was well on his way to being a legit threat for the featherweight title. I mean, that's how good Swanson was. But again, reality hit a little bit, and he got outclassed by both Edgar and Holloway. This fight against Diaz, it's definitely a step down for Swanson here because, I mean, Diaz obviously doesn't have that level or that where Edgar or possibly Holloway wants to get, I should say. Diaz is right there as a legit threat towards the top fighters, but still, I mean, this is definitely a step down for Swanson. So for Diaz, it's a step up, I would say. I mean, Swanson was right there again, kind of rolling through everybody. So this is going to be another test for him. Diaz has been, I think, improving overall his career, but he's more known for his grappling, for his takedowns, for his ability to grind people out. Swanson is not going to be the easiest guy to do that with. But again, Diaz has looked pretty good. I think his win over Elkins was impressive. Elkins is one of the best grinders at featherweight. We know that. So Diaz was able to get the nod there in a close competitive battle. But again, Makhachkali, Diaz was impressive in that bout as well. So I think this is going to come down to, can Diaz kind of slow the pace down of this fight? Can he muscle Swanson up against the cage? Can he get some takedowns and can he control it? Because on the feet, even though Diaz is improving overall, Swanson still has the speed, still has that unorthodox kind of striking style that he has, and he's a little bit more dangerous. So Swanson should win the striking battle. But overall, I think Diaz is going to get the job done, and I think he is probably going to slow the pace down enough. I'm not thinking that Swanson's on a huge decline because, I mean, you got to respect the guys that he's recently lost to. But that being said, I think he is probably going to start to maybe not be at the level that he was once was at that when he had that run that I was just referring to. And Diaz, I think, is getting better and better each time. So I'm going to slightly lean towards Diaz. This is a very difficult fight to pick because of the way these guys are matched up and at the timing of it all, but I still have to lean towards Diaz. I think he will slow it down enough, and it'll be a close split decision type of fight, but I think Diaz gets the nod.
I'm not ready to write Cub Swanson off just yet. Maybe he's never going to fight for the title, but he is good enough to beat everyone but the elite of the elite of the division. I mean, his last two losses were to Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar. Those aren't, you know, nobodies. He's not losing to bums. And Hakran Diaz, while he is a good prospect, he's not really prospect status anymore. He's 31 years old. He's been in the UFC for about 4 years now, and he's just had an inactive fight schedule. And he still is looking for that first big win that will put him on the map. I mean, yeah, he's ranked number 10 overall, but he still is yet to really pick up that signature win in the featherweight division. And I'm not quite convinced that Cub Swanson is going to be that signature win. Diaz is an athletic featherweight. He's more of a grappling first, although his striking is coming along. He's definitely showcased improvements in his striking overall. But that being said, I don't think his striking is anywhere close to Cub Swanson's level. Really, the only way Diaz is going to win is if he is able to repeatedly put Swanson on his back. And I'm not quite convinced he's going to be able to do that. He's not a Frankie Edgar-level wrestler. He is good, but he can't quite set up those takedowns with his striking like Frankie can. So I see Cub Swanson getting the better of Diaz on the feet, although Swanson at times does tend to headhunt a little too much. You saw that definitely in the Max Holloway fight where he was missing badly due to Holloway's excellent movement and footwork and pace just wore him down. And I just don't think that Hakran Diaz is going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to dictate how this fight goes as easily as his last two opponents, as Swanson's last two opponents. So I think Swanson's going to be motivated. I think he's angry after a couple tough losses, and I think he's ready to bounce back. And I think Hakran Diaz might be that perfect opponent for him to really showcase that he's still in the mix in the featherweight division and still a guy to be feared. So I think Hakran Diaz has trouble getting those takedowns, and I think Cub Swanson, you know, punishes him a little bit along the way, whether it's by knockout or decision. So my pick is going to be Cub Swanson. Now moving up to a 160-pound catchweight fight, we have Khabib Nurmagomedov, who is 22-0, taking on injury replacement Daryl Horcher, who is 12-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Nurmagomedov -705, the comeback on Horcher +435. Right now it's -1100 for Nurmagomedov, and the comeback on Horcher is +700. So no hesitation at all, even with the steep line. People are coming in his way. Nurmagomedov, I'm talking about. I understand it. I mean, the guy is an outstanding wrestler. He has a win over the current lightweight champion in RDA, an impressive victory to say the least. So a lot of people think he's on the uncrowned champion right now. Now, of course, he's been on the shelf for quite a while with his injuries, and a lot of people are just frustrated by now with all the time off. They really want to see this guy perform and in the cage because he's that good, and he really should have probably the lightweight strap right now because he's that much of a dominant fighter. And of course, the UFC, there was talks about him fighting maybe Cerrone. That didn't really pan out that much. Of course, this fight was originally supposed to be with him and Tony Ferguson. Most of you guys that are listening know that already. So the replacement Horcher here, the UFC, I guess, didn't want to bust up that fight or take a risk with the Cerrone and Cote fight later on. So they brought Horcher in, which is a guy that's actually a very deserving person to get a shot in the UFC. Now, this is a tough fight for him to come in and basically fight one of the UFC's best lightweights. I mean, we're going to see how Nurmagomedov looks after, of course, the injuries and the layoffs. But, I mean, you're fighting basically the guy that should be champion right now in Horcher. Now, Horcher is definitely a skilled fighter. Again, I think he deserves a shot in the UFC. This is definitely a tough matchup for him. But that being said, he's got a high school wrestling background. Again, high school wrestling background. He's not bad in that area, but of course, it's not going to be at the level as Nurmagomedov here in this spot. He did have some experience in Bellator. He only has one loss in his career, and that loss was to Nova, though, by a close decision, in Bellator as well. But he did go 2-1 in that promotion. And outside of the UFC, really overall on his resume, it's not bad. I mean, he's put together some impressive victories throughout his career. And what you get with Horcher, really, is a very aggressive, well-rounded fighter. I mean, he's more known for his punching power. He throws heavy on the feet. He's very dangerous. His takedown defense overall, again, I mentioned his high school wrestling background. It's decent. But he can be controlled on the ground. But he does have some skill as far as submissions go as well, but it's not really as much of a factor for him as his KO power in a fight. So Nurmagomedov definitely has to be careful and cautious because Horcher on the feet, I think, has the advantage. He has some power, can be a threat, but he probably won't stay upright. I mean, we all know what Nurmagomedov is capable of doing and what he's probably going to do in this fight. He's going to get the takedowns. He's going to be able to grind Horcher out. Can he finish? Maybe along the way he does finish, considering Horcher is taking this fight on short notice. I think his chance goes up a little bit there as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if Horcher at least kind of takes a beating like a man a little bit and survives enough to just lose a decision to Nurmagomedov as well. So I wouldn't lay it, especially at the price it is now. I mean, I think people are kind of underestimating Horcher maybe a little bit too much considering that Habib's been off that long, but overall, I still think, obviously, it's Nurmagomedov's fight to win, and he should win this fight by using what he does best, and that's his wrestling.
Daryl Horcher is actually an excellent fighter. He's just way in over his head here. I mean, he is probably going to stick around in the UFC after this fight, but, I mean, Habib Nurmagomedov is a fighter that I believe is the best lightweight on the planet right now, better than the champ Rafael dos Anjos, better than the former champ Anthony Pettis, better than Eddie Alvarez, all these guys. Nurmagomedov has just been devastated by massive injuries and has been just kept on the sideline time and time and time again. And I'm glad that he's getting this fight, even though Tony Ferguson dropped out and he's not deciding to wait for Ferguson. And Habib deserves it. He needs to get out there. And this is a bit more of a tune-up fight, I think. And while Daryl Horcher is a dangerous striker with a big left hand, that's the only chance he has. He has a puncher's chance here because Habib Nurmagomedov is so devastating with his wrestling. I mean, he just gets right in your face, swarms you, drags you to the ground, and does not relent once there. And he can stifle anybody's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu game from top position as well. You saw that when he beat Rafael dos Anjos before dos Anjos' run to the title. So Nurmagomedov is elite, one of the absolute best lightweights in the world, and Daryl Horcher is good, but this is not going to be pretty, I think. Horcher's going to have a puncher's chance at the beginning of each round if he makes it out of each round, and after that, I think Nurmagomedov is just going to be riding on top of him for the next 5 minutes, just dropping elbows and potentially working for submissions. The only chance Horcher has other than that is if Habib has not fully recovered from all those knee injuries he's had and he's lost that explosiveness, that athleticism, that ability to drag fights to the floor. But I don't think that's the case. I think Khabib is in good shape. I think he's ready to go, and I think he's raring to do some serious damage again in the UFC lightweight division. So I'm going to pick Khabib to win convincingly. Now, moving on, we have a potential women's number one contender fight in the strawweight division between Rose Namajunas, who is 5-2, and Tisha Torres, who is 7-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Namajunas -140 to come back on Torres, even money right now over five dimes. It is Namajunas -240 to come back on Torres is +200. Head scratcher, because normally you don't see Torres being that big of a dog. In fact, in most cases, she's actually a decent favorite. In fact, she was the favorite to win, obviously, the strawweight division in the Ultimate Fighter House, fighting for the title there. A lot of people believe that she was one of the front runners, if not the really the lady to beat in the house. So that didn't work out as well as she'd liked. Now, of course, we all know that Torres and Namajunas also have a history outside of the Ultimate Fighter where they competed and fought in a pretty close fight. It was a pretty competitive, exciting fight earlier in both ladies' careers, and Torres ended up coming away with a decision win there, a deserving one. So this is kind of a head-scratcher because I know that Namajunas has looked phenomenal. I mean, that loss – or that win, I should say, that dominating win over Paige VanZant was impressive. I didn't think she was going to dominate VanZant like she did. And that proves to you that she's working like an animal considering her loss, obviously, to Esparza. I mean, she's really taken that to heart. She's putting the time in the gym. I think she's improving. She's focused. She's motivated. There's a lot of great things to like about Namajunas. So she's definitely a different fighter than she was when she fought Torres the first time. There's no doubt about that. And I do think that she deserves to be the favorite here in this spot. But the line, I think, is getting a little bit wacky because Torres is going to put up a fight. In this spot, no doubt about that either, because Namajunas, I think the edge that she has over Torres really comes down to the ground. Can she get takedowns? Can she get top position? Can she try to threaten with a sub? It's possible. I mean, Torres overall has decent takedown defense, but at the same time, that's been her kryptonite at times as well throughout her career. So Namajunas is going to look to work the ground for sure, and it could cause Torres some problems. On the feet, Namajunas is a very technical, outstanding fighter, threatens, of course, has power on the feet, can do it all. But Torres has the speed. She's got some serious skill on the feet as well. I think she's actually the better striker of the two here. I mean, Namajunas might be more dangerous at times, but Torres can still be more effective and outpoint people along the way to a clear decision a lot of times as well. So this is going to be a great fight. If it hits the scorecards, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see another split decision type of fight here. I am going to lean a little bit more towards Namajunas. Again, I'm not as confident as everybody else that's coming in betting her because I do think this fight probably does hit the cards. And man, we all know what judges can do. I mean, they score wrong all the time. So it's definitely dangerous, especially in a fight like this. But I do pick her to win this fight. I think she has made enough improvements that she might redeem herself and get that victory back over Torres in this spot.
Yeah, this should be a really fun competitive scrap. I mean, Tisha Torres, Rose Namajunas, when they fought the last time, it was Torres who got the upper hand. She was the more seasoned striker at the time. She was, even though she was giving up a lot of reach, she was able to get inside, get combinations off. Really, she was really able to hit Rose hard on the feet. Now, she doesn't have the type of finishing power or finishing ability that Rose has. I mean, pretty much every one of Rose's fights except the Torres fight, she has had a finish in. I mean, she is just an extremely aggressive, very high energy, high pace type of fighter. And Torres kind of slowed her down a little bit and made her fight her game. Now, if she's able to do that again this time around, then Torres can definitely win. We've seen Torres kind of fight a little more on the safe side of things, whether she's looking for takedowns against somebody like Angie Hill or just keeping her distance and working her opponent over on the feet. Like in her UFC debut. I just think she definitely will have a little bit more on her plate this time from Rose, because Rose has definitely improved in all areas. You saw that in the Paige VanZant fight. She was dangerous on the feet. She was throwing heavy strikes, both kicks and punches. She had a really nasty ground game, not just with her takedowns and submissions, but she was bashing Paige on the ground with ground and pound punches and elbows. So if Rose is able to get on top of Torres, this fight gets interesting in a hurry, because Rose's ground game is so nasty, and Tisha does have a bit of a tendency to get stuck on her back against superior wrestlers or superior ground fighters. That's how she lost on The Ultimate Fighter. She was one of the favorites to win the whole show, but she lost to Randa Markos and Carla Esparza, who were repeatedly able to take her down and put her on her back and take away some of her striking weapons. Now, Rose also has some improved weapons on the feet. Because she's added a little bit more power and diversity to her striking game, she might be able to hold her own with Tisha. Maybe not in pure volume, but I think from distance, she's going to be a lot more dangerous because she is so much longer than Tisha. Now, if this fight does go into the clinch or on the ground, I think it'll be Rose's world. At distance, far distance, it's Rose's world. It's more in the pocket. That's where Tisha's going to shine. And if Rose is able to keep Tisha Torres from getting in the pocket repeatedly, then I think she's going to be in for a really solid performance, and maybe she'll pick up that win and hand Tisha Torres the first loss of her professional mixed martial arts career. So I'm going to side with Rose Namajunas. I just think she's a lot more dangerous at this point in her career, and her improvements have been so drastic that she should be able to pick up the win in this rematch. Now moving on to the main event of the evening, we have a light heavyweight contest between Glover Teixeira, who is 24-4, and Rashad Evans, who is 24-4-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Teixeira -190, the comeback on Evans +150. Right now we're five dimes. It is -220 for Teixeira. The comeback on Evans is +180. So a little bit more love on Teixeira early on in this fight. Man, it's tough because honestly, we're just not sure where these guys are in their careers right now. I mean, realistically, if you look at what have you done for me lately, Teixeira obviously is a little bit better. He's been a little bit more proven. I know he suffered back-to-back losses there with John Jones and Phil Davis, especially the Davis one. It was a little bit more of a surprise, but he rebounded nicely, put together a couple wins, and he looked a lot better in his last two fights against OSP and Cummins. So more of what we wanted to see from Teixeira. Teixeira is definitely a quality fighter, deserved to get that shot against John Jones for that title. I mean, he's at the top of the food chain for sure. And Evans was arguably number two for a long time throughout his career in the light heavyweight division. I mean, that's kind of went away a little bit. He's not ranked as high because of his time off, his injuries, all that stuff as well. And then, of course, he comes back and suffers really a surprising loss to most people against Ryan Bader. A lot of people were expecting him to get the W in that fight. So is there a sign of decline from Evans? I think there is, honestly. I think that he's not the same Rashad Evans that was making his run towards John Jones earlier in his career as well, or at one time did wear the strap. I mean, Evans has always been quality. He's going to be a tough out here as well for Teixeira, realistically. But I think we have seen Evans get a little bit worse than what he once was at one time. So he's definitely not in the peak of his career. You could probably say the same thing about Teixeira, even though he hasn't shown that decline spot quite yet. But it all depends on the game plan. Evans is a very smart fighter here. Obviously, he utilizes wrestling well. He's got some speed. He's got some power on the feet. Both of these guys have somewhat of a suspect chin, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't be shocked either way. If Teixeira lands on Evans and puts him out, I wouldn't be that shocked. If Evans ends up catching Teixeira along the way, I wouldn't be that shocked either. So both these guys can't finish each other. They got the striking of the power to do so, and they got the suspect chins somewhat to be able to get put out like that as well. So this is going to be an intriguing fight. I do give the slight edge to Teixeira because I think he is the better overall fighter in this spot. I think even if it hits the ground, obviously he's got the edge with pure BJJ, even though Rashad's wrestling might be a tad bit better than Teixeira. And if Rashad is smart, he's going to try to utilize the same type of game plan that Phil Davis did against Teixeira and just try to grind him out, try to get his back, try to get those takedowns, try to work against the cage, all that sort of stuff. If he does that, he could possibly come away with a victory here against Teixeira and steal a very competitive type of decision. But overall, I think that it is Glover's fight to win or lose. Again, he is the better fighter. I think he does probably keep it upright. Those mistakes that he had against Phil Davis obviously are glaring for him, and I'm sure he's addressed that some, and he knows not to kind of be in those spots. If he can avoid it, obviously he will. And I think that he does have the edge in this fight overall. I trust him a little bit more. And if you had to pick one guy, obviously you got to go to Teixeira again, because I think that maybe that decline spot hasn't hit him quite as bad as it hit Rashad. But I'm honestly hoping that we see Evans kind of go back to at least see some glimpses of what he once was, so we do kind of get rid of this decline factor of him, or at least those thoughts in our head. I want to see an exciting fight. I want to see a split decision type of fight that goes five rounds and is just exciting with pure technique, skill, everything that you want to see in an MMA fight. These guys can definitely deliver that type of performance. Let's just hope we get it. So my pick is going to be Teixeira to defeat Rashad Evans.
The outcome of this fight is going to hinge almost 100% on which Rashad Evans shows up. I mean, are we going to see the confident swagger jacking Rashad Evans, who was able to climb all the way to UFC champion? Or are we going to see the tentative Rashad Evans, who's just not quite sure where he's picking his spots, like we saw in his loss to Nogueira or his loss to Bader? I mean, it's very frustrating for Rashad Evans fans. I guarantee that. He has the ability to wrestle and dominate and crush opponents or even knock them out on the feet. He does have that explosive knockout power where he can just get inside with a big overhand and put his opponent down. It's just he's only showing tiny, tiny flashes of it these days instead of just going out full force. Now, Glover Teixeira, I think he fell in love a little bit with his hands for a while, and you saw that with Phil Davis just making mincemeat out of him on the ground. And he kind of went back to his roots a little bit, started showcasing his ground game in his more recent fights. I mean, he looked terrific in his win over Ovince St. Preux, just completely destroyed him. So it seems like Teixeira's back in business. And you saw the same thing with his win over Patrick Cummins. I mean, Patrick Cummins is an excellent wrestler, and Glover just was able to just outwork him and do a really good job putting him away as well. So if that Glover Teixeira shows up, then he should be in good shape against Rashad. Glover is a bit taller, a little bit longer reach, not by much, but he should have a little bit of physical advantages against Rashad. And if his wrestling holds up, then he should be in a pretty good position here, because realistically, the only way I see Rashad winning is either stepping in with a huge overhand right and knocking Teixeira out, although nobody's actually been able to finish Glover with strikes. They've hurt him a couple times. Or maybe if Rashad is able to focus on the wrestling and repeatedly put Teixeira on his back like Phil Davis did, because as you remember a long time ago, this was a long time ago, Rashad Evans was able to defeat Phil Davis in a main event and avoid Davis's takedowns and even get on top position a little bit himself. So if Rashad's a better wrestler than Phil Davis, at least in MMA terms, then he could definitely give Teixeira some fits on the ground, especially over the course of five rounds. That being said, I think this is Glover Teixeira's fight to lose. He's just a little bit more dangerous in all areas. His submission game is on point, and he definitely has the heavy hands and the instincts and technique to do some serious damage on the feet as well. So I'm going to side with Glover Teixeira. I hope that the old school Rashad Evans shows up. I'm just not quite convinced he exists anymore. So my pick is going to be Glover. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC on Fox 19. Part 2 of the Premium Odds Cast featuring our premium bets will be out this Friday following the weigh-in. So stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker premium member. Also, if you'd like to become a premium member, just go to the MMA Oddsbreaker homepage and you can sign up in the top right corner. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.